Throughout all of ACFI, we've been learning various ways how to equip ourselves to love well, love others well, love God well, love ourselves well. And this also ties into solitude and loneliness, right? Solitude is necessary. It is very, very necessary. And Lucien's going to share with us a little bit more about this particular aspect of the human experience.
Yeah, I like this quote. I think I put this. This was part of some of the stuff I posted on our Slack group, that there are those who, after being established and grounded in truth, should enter these institutions of learning as students. They keep living the principles of truth, keep the Sabbath, and yet they will have the opportunity to work for the master by dropping seeds of truth in the minds and hearts. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit, these seeds will spring up to bear fruit for the glory of God and result in saving lives. So yeah, there are a lot of things that come up. But one of the very first things is that we have, as students on a public university campus, we are there so that we can, one, live these principles of truth and keep the Sabbath. But for us to be able to do that, we ourselves have to be grounded in the truth. We ourselves must know what the truth is before we are able to share that. And for us to be able to do that, we can look at the example of Jesus. So if we go to Mark chapter 1, verse 35 through 39, we can clearly see what was Christ's experience in his own time and in his own day as he went about ministering. What was it that he had to do before he was able to minister? I know we live in a social media generation. The first thing I want to do when I wake up in the morning is to check WhatsApp, check Facebook, check, Instagram, check, all this stuff, what has happened while I was asleep. You know, what's the latest stuff? Check all the breaking news. But here we see the example of Christ. Christ, the very first thing he did in the morning was what? Spend some time praying. Early in the morning, while it was still dark, he went out into a desolate place and there he prayed. As we are going out to our campus, yes, we want to be able to reach out to our campus. But first, we have to spend some time with God. We have to spend some time ourselves grounded in the truth. We have to spend some time before we're able to talk about, I want to share, this living water with you. You have to, first of all, know what the living water is. Know what the truth is before you are able to do that. So as students, I think that this is one very important thing that we tend to forget. We are very busy. I spend all night studying for this final. I wake up in the morning, the first thing that comes to my head is just to run out the door and go to class and take that final. But, throughout our time on campus, throughout our day, we should always remember that we should first begin our time by spending it alone, praying and communing with God.
Amen. So solitude is a practice. So it's something you have to be intentional about in order to enjoy. That being said, loneliness is real. And Lucien actually has something he'd like to share about his experience. He just shared earlier that he's from Africa. And while we were getting together and trying to put together this presentation, he shared about his experience being on campus and how loneliness was a part of that experience.
Okay, so since we're short of time, I'm not going to talk much about me. But because I said a little bit about that on Monday, as you guys know, I come from Cameroon. I come from Cameroon, and as a student, I traveled long ways to come to America. I'm thousands of miles away from home. It was a very, very lonely experience. I remember sitting in the airport far away. My mom wasn't there. And, things began to dawn on me. What am I doing here? Maybe I should go back home. Maybe I should go hang out with my sisters or my father. This is the same thing that we face as students. We go to campus, we're away from our comfort, and we find ourselves, all of a sudden in this state of loneliness. I vividly remember one time I was talking with one of the pastors in church, and he says, maybe what we should do is find your wife, so that way you'll not be alone. and all of this stuff is going through my head and my mind, and I'm like, maybe I should go home. Maybe I have to go home. And then to even make things, to add another level of complexity, I decided to study geology. there's not a lot of Adventists that do geology. This is a field that is very narrow. And so many times your experience that you have going and studying in a field like that, you don't get to like easily walk down the hall and you meet a fellow Adventist that's doing that. Say, you know, like we have a lot of people that are into teaching, nursing, and so on. Good, you know, vocational calling. But, you know, so, and I began to find myself in this, you know, in this place where I am all by myself. I am, you know, on a path that is not taken by a lot of people. I am far away from home. And yet, I have to be able to what? To reach out to my campus. And yet, I have to be able to take this gospel commission and share it with others. I have to, you know, start a group on my campus. I have to be able to do all of this. I had no idea how that was going to go about. I even had no idea about public campus ministry. Right before coming to America, I had no idea how all of these things were going to be morphed. But in spite of all of this, God had a plan. God says, hey, I know you're coming to America to study. I'm going to, you know, put this plan for you that right now, and then when I was leaving home, I had no idea what that plan was going to be. But as I arrived here, you know, shortly after I came here, about 3 months after that, bam, those things just started triggering and setting into motion. I started finding myself where in a community of believers, for, you know, in a church, you know, with a group on campus, with people I could connect with every Friday night, people who could call me every day, how are you doing? You know, I found myself as well with a very amazing couple. You know, these are retired people, Marvin and Mary Ellen Friesen. You know, this is one people that have been really great to me. They will call me every day. Hey, what are you doing? They'll come up to me. We cook some food for you. You know, I've even had, you know, church members just dropping by randomly, calling me, we want to hang out with you, we want to find out how you're doing. You know, and I understand, you know, for some of us, this might not be the case. We find ourselves, I'm alone on my campus, I'm alone in my field of study, and we begin to, now, you know, we start to develop this, you know, what do I do? How can I fulfill this part? How can I, you know, as Sister White said, you know, we're supposed to go out to these campuses to begin to drop this seeds. How can I begin to effectively do that?
And many of you have experienced the same as well. And guess what? Your classmates and even your professors might find themselves feeling like they're in silos, like they're by themselves. So research is showing us that loneliness is actually on the rise. And I'll go through some of the implications that that has on our campuses and also ourselves. So loneliness, as many of you mentioned, it causes people to feel empty, alone, and unwanted. And in Matthew 26, verses 36 to 40, let's turn there, we'll see that we are not unique in experiencing this. Even Jesus himself felt alone and experienced loneliness. And so here we could see Jesus' vulnerability. He's going through a lot. We already know where he is in his life in this particular passage. And you would think, okay, he knows that his Father's with him. We know our Heavenly Father is with us. So why does he need his disciples? But here he's being human. He's being vulnerable. He's actually mirroring the emotions that the Godhead also has. The Godhead is in community. And here Jesus is saying, I'm going through a really tough time. Watch with me. Watch with me. Stay with me. And so being vulnerable, I know it's hard for us to do that sometimes because we think because we have God, we have need of nothing else. But that's not the kind of human experience that Jesus is teaching us to have. It's okay to be vulnerable, and even in moments of loneliness, it's okay to share those. So in research tells us that college males are actually more prone to feelings of loneliness than females for a variety of reasons. And so be intentional about connecting with the guys on your campus and creating community for them. It's much easier for us girls to get together, go shopping, eat together, what have you. But for guys, please make sure that you're intentional about connecting with them as well. There's a lot of stigma and shame associated with loneliness. So men are typically more prone to not share those feelings.
Yeah, I know that, you know, just thinking about that, I mean, again, you know, we live in this society that's more male-dominated, right? You know, I come from this society where, you know, as a man, you know, you have all these sort of expectations. And so many times you find yourself on the campus, it's just hard for you to connect with people. You don't want to tell them, oh, you know, you need a friend, but you're afraid to approach people. So as, you know, as Adventist students, this is one of the great things that, you know, ACF chapters does, you know, for you. is that it gives you this community. Try to be, you know, like some people say, accountability partners, trying to find friends on campus, you know, that you can connect with, and not find yourself in this state where you're just alone on your own. Nobody has an idea what you're doing. You're locked up in your room for 1 week, and, you know, nobody knows what's happening. You're sick. Nobody, know what to do. You know, where is this guy? Nobody knows. But, you know, try, you know, to connect. Try to make, you know, friends. And, you know, don't be afraid to share, you know, your vulnerability and connect with people.
So loneliness is an adverse signal, much like hunger, thirst, and pain. When you're hungry, what are you counseled to do? Eat. When you're thirsty, what are you counseled to do? And when you're in pain, what are you counseled to do? Avoid whatever's causing you pain. Like if it's someone stepping on my foot, I'd be like, hey, you're on my foot. Like that's, it's an adverse signal. So when you're experiencing loneliness, it means you need people. And some of us, because we tend to over-spiritualize things, we're like, well, I'll just go to my Bible. That's nice, but that's not it. You're feeling lonely because you need people. So go out and find people. And as children of God, we are now called to seek out those who may be feeling lonely, but they're not connecting the dots that they need people. So we need to be extra friendly, genuinely friendly. And we looked at that throughout the week, right? How to really engage with others and have an interest in them and actually create a community where we love them just because, not because we need more numbers in our clubs, but just because, right? And so it's beautiful to have music, gospel music, that's great, secular, and like the kind of contemporary music that you listen to. It's great to enjoy your food, right? That's another way that people are like, oh, I'm lonely, let me get a pint of vegan ice cream. At the right times, that's fine too, right? And again, Bible study, fantastic, but none of those replace community with human beings. Right? So being a hermit is not okay. I want to really drill that in because we often like to substitute spiritual activities for loneliness. And it's community that we're needing. And so community is what God is blessing us with. Does that make sense? Okay, good. I'm so happy to hear that. Well, you all know I love talking about wellness. So of course, I had to bring some statistics about the implications of loneliness on our physiology and also our mental health. So these are several negative effects on both physical and mental health that loneliness will have. So anything from depressed immune function, so you find yourself always getting cold and being sick, but you're doing everything else, it's healthy, like you're eating well, you're sleeping, all of that. It might be that you're just missing connection with people. And if you've done psychology 101, you probably heard of the study where they tried to raise babies without touching them, like no physical touch. What happened to those babies? Okay, we're just bigger babies, okay? We need hugs, we need attention, we need love, right? So stress level, decrease memory and learning. If you want to do better on your tests, have 2-3 really good friends. Like, create a community. To make better decisions in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And so when you've got those counselors, there's community again. So you're going to have better decisions. So these are just a few of the things that secular scientists, are realizing have implications on our health just from loneliness. So remedies for loneliness. One, recognizing that when you need a community, that's okay. In fact, it's a divinely placed need. We looked this morning, or was it yesterday? No, this morning, at Genesis 1:1. Right, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, the Hebrew word God here is Elohim, which is the plural form of God. So here it's saying, in the beginning, a community, a heavenly community, then created, right? So seeing that we're in the image of God, we need to understand that therefore we also need community. Share meals. It's so easy to grab your food to go and not engage with people. But this is a easy way for you to make friends. For as long as I can remember, I now don't have this problem, praise the Lord, but for as long as I can remember, even down to junior high school, I had anxiety around eating in the lunchroom because it's like, who do you sit with? And just that alone just made my appetite go away. And then if I sat down with a group of people, but they were well into their lunch and they left early, so I'm sitting there by myself, like that was just too much for me to handle. And so in junior high, I made friends with the librarian, and she would write me passes so I could go get my lunch, and then I would eat in her office and then read books all through lunch. This went through up into college. Like, the cafeteria at Andrews, which it's just too many people. I don't know who to sit with. It's just a lot. So I would always get my lunch to go and go eat in my room and then jump right into my studies. And so today, being in campus ministries, guess what's one of the things I do a lot with students? Eat with them. Yes, because I understand what they might be going through. And so I love this quote by this particular author. Friendship is a lot like food. We need it to survive. And so share a meal with individuals. Say, hey, can we do lunch on Thursday? Hey, can we do lunch on Wednesday? What are you having for dinner? Is it okay if I join you? Those are simple. That's a very simple. You're not even cooking. It's a simple way for you to connect and be with someone. And so the substitute is not TV. It's not your telephone. The screen is not human. You want to connect with humans.
Yeah, just like Dali was talking about, when I first came to America, I was very intimidated. My accent didn't sound right, you know. I didn't grow up speaking English all the time. So you're always very conscious of that. You're afraid to approach people like, oh man, what are they going to think about me? Even right now, they say I have an accent. I'm like, no, I don't, you know. But you know, all those things. So what happened is that, you know, food became something really easy. I lived in the dorms. So I didn't have any friends coming here. So I used to go to the cafeteria, you know, I just walk in by myself, you know, and I get some food. But then I told myself one day, I'm like, you know, I'm going to try to make a friend every day I go to the cafeteria to eat. And so every day I would try to sit with somebody. And on this one day, I decided to go sit with this girl that, you know, I didn't even know who she was. As I went to sit with her, you know, I was like, oh, can I sit? She's like, sure. You know, and, you know, as I sat down, you know, I'm like, you know, I say, hi, you know, I'm Lucien, you know, I'm, you know, at the time I was a freshman, you know, and tried to connect, but she was like, oh, taken back, like, wow, somebody wants to talk to me, you know, like, what's happening here? As it turns out, we began to talk. What happened? Her mother had just died, and she was in this state where, you know, she did not have friends on campus. She was all worried. Her dad was about to come. Her father, you know, was driving like 6 hours to come get her to go back home. And, you know, she was just needing somebody to talk to that day, you know, on campus. And here I was, you know, talking with her, connecting with her. And, you know, over the years, we really developed a good friendship. We even got to start talking about, you know, Bible stuff. I even began to realize this girl grew up, her dad is a pastor. I did not even know that her dad was a pastor, but as she was growing up, she felt that, you know, as a preacher's kid, she had been having all this pressure to, you know, to be good, to live this life. But then that she was like, but that's not my thing. But, you know, as we began to continue, began to talk, you know, she, you know, slowly began to start, you know, understanding the Bible, you know, understanding about Christ and what, you know, his role in her life is. And, you know, she began to see that there are some things that in her life, that some hatreds that she had for her dad, that, you know, she didn't even know where they came from. But it all started because I decided to say, you know, I'm not going to care about, you know, what my accent sounds like, or if people think that I'm creepy or whatever, I'm just going to approach them and try to eat with them.
All right, branching out and getting to know different types of people. Join a club on campus with an interest you might have had but never explored before because your group of friends back home might not be interested in that. Really try to get to know new people, and the college campus is like the ideal place to do it. You have the craziest types of clubs, right? The most interesting groups of people that come from all over the world. And so really be intentional. All of this takes intentionality. Solitude takes intentionality, and creating inclusive communities to combat loneliness also takes intentionality. And connected to that is, as I briefly mentioned before, screens are not a substitute for people. And so it doesn't matter how many likes you got on that post or on that photo or any of the other social media platforms that you may use. It's nice, but it's not a substitute for people. And in Matthew 7:12, Jesus tells us to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And as I shared about my anxiety around lunchrooms and sitting down with people that may not share the entire meal with me and figuring out and just being comfortable with being by myself in a very public place. So now I'm very intentional about sharing meals with others and not having people experience what it is that I experience. So oftentimes with loneliness, it's kind of like when you're hungry, you're just like, I need to get food for me, right? With loneliness, you're like, I just need to address my loneliness. But for a moment, flip the script and look for individuals that might be loners, that might be lonely, and instead like pour into their lives. And you'll find that your loneliness is cured as well as theirs. And last but not least, much in line with the counsel that Lucien got from that person back in his church, I would recommend, don't leave finding someone to do life with way into the future. Have your eyes open during college. It's totally legitimate to fall in love and get married in college. I know we don't preach that, we don't speak that, but really, it's totally legitimate. And you want to hear some crazy statistics about this? I'm going to say yes. I'm going to tell you, even if you don't say yes. Studies show that married college students have better grades, are happier, so have a better emotional health, and also are healthier. So physiologically, they have physical better health.
So what are you saying, that I'm not healthy?
So I'm saying in general. Studies show, right, and these are not Christians that are doing this research, trying to push some type of agenda. These are just secular social scientists, my colleagues, that are studying this. But we can understand why, right? You have a test coming up, you have a study buddy built in, right? Hello, right? You have to get chores done for Sabbath, you have someone to help you. It's right there. Like, the community that God has that God talked about in Genesis 2:18, you get to experience in the married life. And so keep your eyes peeled. Keep them open. You know, don't stress over it. But don't be so closed off to it either, okay? Because it's completely, completely natural to explore those feelings as well while you're in college.
Yeah, I guess ACF Institute is also good for that, right?
Amen.
This is, you know, throughout this week, we've been looking at this idea of loneliness. We've also looked at, the Great Commission in Matthew 19 and 20. And, you know, this Great Commission that Christ gave us ends with this. He says, "And lo, I will be with you always, even till the end of age." Amen. God has put you on your campus for a reason. You might feel that I am just there alone. Christ is sending me out there in this wilderness and there's nobody there. But always remember, you have the promise of Christ and the Holy Spirit to be with you. Christ has gone ahead of us and the Holy Spirit is going to be with us as we're reaching out to the people in our community, on our university campuses, our friends, you know, maybe in our dorm section or in our apartment complex. God will be with us. It is not going to be as scary and lonely as we think, but, you know, the Holy Spirit is going to guide us throughout our efforts.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.